You're listening to St. Pius X Catholic Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you for joining us.
This fourth Sunday of Advent, fourth Sunday of Lent. Yeah, time's running fast. This fourth Sunday of Lent, obviously, we lighten up a little bit. We have the rose-colored vestments, never pink, just rose. And we look at the light. We lighten up as we hear in our gospel reading today. And it's lightening up for what? It's lightening up for preparation for what we're about to hopefully experience in our minds and our hearts. That would be the beginning of Passiontide next week. So we hear in our first reading today from the book of Chronicles that the end of the Davidic dynasty, so to speak, on earth. And that was a covenant that God made with David, that he would have an eternal dynasty, an everlasting one, and that he would establish his kingdom. And so we look at that, and what happened is after David came Solomon, and then things kind of began to fall apart. 22 or 23 kings later, the abominations became so much that it was irreparable, and they went off to Babylon in exile for those who escaped the sword, as we heard. And then, of course, Cyrus came, and God had spoken to him and said, go back and rebuild your temple. But that's the fourth major covenant in the Old Testament. And during this Lenten season, we have been working through each of the major covenants of the Old Testament in our first readings. And in our first week, we heard about the covenant with Noah. And in Noah's covenant, you guys know the sign of the rainbow. The covenant basically, and I'm going to do these in very short order, it was basically God's all in. That after the fall, mankind brought sin into the world, and with sin, death and destruction, and things deteriorated there as well. And then after the flood, God said that'll never happen again. Mankind will never be destroyed by a flood. And so he committed that he was all in, that he was going to help us to move along the path to goodness. Then the second big covenant was Abraham. He said, but if God's all in, so do you need to be all in. You need to have faith. Abraham is our father in faith. So it begins with an act of the will to believe God. And so it is with our Christian life. To believe and then to do. And that was the third covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant with Moses, the Ten Commandments that we worked through last week. And in that, God set together the rules of the game, so to speak. If you believe me, then follow the rules. These are the rules that will bring you to true goodness. And last week's reading, even, I think, kind of humorously, you know, had the part where God is cajoling the Israelites to say, hey, you know, if you follow these rules, every other nation is going to think that you're so wise and so smart and how wonderful your God is that he would be with you. And it's all true, you know, but it was kind of the first evangelization, if you kind of want to put it in those terms, you know, evangelizing by saying, hey, come see the goodness and the wisdom of the Ten Commandments. And indeed they are. Indeed they are. But that's just the beginning. As it is in our lives, when we think of how we train our children, knowing the rules is the first part. And then we're called in a further act of faith to simply follow the rules. Simply follow the rules that we do before we can understand. And we do that with our kids. Don't cross the street. Why? Well, you could get hurt. Well, I don't understand. Just don't cross the street. Just don't cross the street. That's the rule. And they do it. We are all like little children in God's eyes. So we have the same thing. Adults have a much harder time with this than the kids do. But it is just follow the rules. You do, and then you understand. And that's the way it works. And hopefully, over time, we will, at some point, understand the wisdom of the rules. And they are an entryway or predisposition of obviously staying away from sin, but also the entryway of love. Some people, you know, diminish the simple following of the rules. Sometimes I hear it about Sunday Mass. Well, I'm not going to go because I'm going for the wrong reason. No. Go. Just do it. Just do it. You know, sometimes fear is a really good motivator. There's nothing wrong with that. My dad put the fear of God in me. Well, and other fears too. You know, at times there was a necessary thing. So no, you just do it. And then you understand. Then you embrace. And so we think of God throughout salvation history. It's what we call it, beginning with these series of covenants. And then the covenant with David was the kingship. And then we get to the end and it looks like all is lost. And now comes Cyrus. And we believe, of course, that Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of David, right? And so where are we going? We're moving into Passiontide next week. And our first reading is going to talk about the new covenant. And I won't be here. I'll be with the eighth graders in Washington, D.C. We're leaving early Wednesday morning. I won't be back until about midnight Sunday. Please pray for the group as we travel. Please pray for me as we travel. But next week, and I don't want to steal the homilist's thunder, but the first reading is about the new covenant, the fifth, the final, the last. The full revelation of God's love. He's in. We're in. Here are the rules. Now learn how to love. Now learn how to love. And learning how to love is what Easter's all about, right? That we learn how to love as Christ loved. Easter is a much harder season to truly live than Lent is. It's easier to follow the rules than it is to learn how to love. And that's where the Pharisees got in trouble, right? God had to come once again because they began worshiping rules, not loving their neighbors. So we're called in our new life, our Easter life, to love as Christ loved. Well, what does that look like? It looks like the stations of the cross. It looks like the stations of the cross. It's hard. We're giving our lives for the salvation of the world just like Christ did. To love as he loved. And we can't do it on our own. That's why our second reading today talks about being saved by grace. Grace is Jesus. Jesus is grace. That is the strength that we need through the sacraments and also through the reception of the special graces God gives to us to live a life as Christ lived. That's not easy. That is very difficult, particularly since we have a free will and a free mind, and we're able to kind of rationalize into what Christ wants for us. Oftentimes, when we have to be very careful about this, we make Jesus into who we want him to be. We don't really honestly try to find out who he is and follow him. And so we think of next week beginning Passiontide, that special 2 weeks before Easter, where we focus on that grace of the last covenant, the fifth covenant, the new covenant. The covenant of Christ to learn to love as he loved. And in our gospel reading today, God reaffirms everything that he had said throughout history, that he's all in. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And this is the path. It's a narrow path, but it's the path. Get rid of sin. Follow the rules. Learn to love as Christ loved. Learn to give your life for another. And it doesn't matter what vocation you're in. Whether you're married, you give your life for your spouse and your family. When you're a priest, you give your life for the people entrusted to your care in God's church. When you're a single person, you give your life over to Christ for whatever purpose he has for you as a single person. And we learn to love in good times and in bad. We'll take the wedding vows. You know, good times and in bad, richer or poorer, sickness or health. No matter what, we're learning how to love and learning how to love as Christ loved, because he did the same thing. And if we are able to do that, then we can come to the true meaning of Easter in that new life that we now live, a better life, a good life, a selfless life, but most importantly, a peaceful life, a life of peace. Because no matter what's going on in the world, if we are in Christ and we have faith, we ourselves can know that we are where God wants us to be, that we're living the life that he has called us to be, and we can have confidence in eternal life that he promises. And that's what we're looking at, I said, over the next few weeks. Our gospel reading today has an invitation. You know, are we drawn to the light? Are we drawn to the light? You know, the verdict is in. The light came into the world, but the people preferred darkness to light. What do we prefer? What do we prefer? Where are we going to allow the light of Christ to dispel that darkness, dispel that evil, and then do as he commanded? And Jesus had several commandments that he had, but in the end, we can't love God and we can't love neighbor unless we do what he commanded, because he said that's what love is. And so we have another set of commands, but they go to the heart and the mind. They go to the entire person. And we pray that as we enter in these next few weeks, that we're able to truly repent, truly change, and learn how to love more fully, to follow Christ more closely, to have an act of gratitude, so to speak, for what he has already done for us, and allow the light to shine more brightly into our hearts. And if we do that, then we, like I said, we can truly celebrate Easter. And we'll be doing that, obviously, beginning Palm Sunday, Holy Week. That'll be the next time I see most of you guys. And so, just as you know, in the bulletin today, there's a little insert with our Holy Week schedule. I hope you're able to make the Triduum services. We do need help at the morning masses for Eucharistic ministers, by the way. All the masses are packed, by the way, except for the 5 p.m. And so if you're able to adjust your schedule and help out at one of the morning masses, that would be greatly appreciated. But we also have the last chance for confessions that are scheduled, as well as our Triduum schedule. It's in a form where you can take it out of the bulletin, put it on your refrigerator with a magnet, and you'll know exactly what's going on all during Holy Week. It's also the Seder meal is on Tuesday. Tickets are on sale after Mass. Ticket sales are brisk, so if you want to come, be sure to take care of business. And as we look forward to Holy Week, let's make sure that we stop, we reflect, we see where God is working in our lives and moving us. We're seeing where we not only fail in sin, but where we fail to love as he loved, where we need to give more of ourselves in order to let God be more directing in our lives, and to live that new life, that tough life, but that great life that God wants to give to us, the life that brings us not only peace in this world, but will also bring us to eternity with him in heaven.